Let's go back into our study here. Going to be, you know, again, we're still talking about the secret place. We're talking about the hiding place. We're talking about the place where you and the Lord can meet. One of the things, and we're going to talk about a couple of things today regarding this. I want to go to Isaiah 45:19 for just a moment, and we read it briefly the other time. And I want to read it out of the New American Standard, so if you'll come with me. It says, I have not spoken in secret in some dark land. Did I not say to the offspring of Jacob, seek me in a waste place? I, the Lord, speak righteousness, declaring things that are upright. And I want to deal with that for just a second, to seek him in the waste place. Many people that I talked to over the last few weeks, especially, you know, have had issues, and they were struggling, and they feel God is afar off. Okay, and what normally happens, and I'm not saying this happened to them, but what normally happens is that people stop seeking God in those situations, because the default is that they feel like God is hiding from them. Okay, God's not hiding from you. You know, he doesn't hide. He doesn't. The song that Amanda Cook wrote, he doesn't give his heart in pieces. Okay, he doesn't just hide from you. Like, you know, he could be playing hide and seek. You don't know that. You know, some of the things is that God wants us to seek him. He wants to be the primary focus of our search. Okay, and I go back to hide and seek. You know, I mean, if the person you're seeking for isn't in that one place, you can go to the next place, and you just keep searching in different places until you find him. You know, and a lot of times we wonder why God moved, and it's like, you know, and I know, like, when you're first born again, or if you're not used to Christianese, you hear the phrase, well, God is moving. Well, where did he move to? You know, I just got used to, you know, finding him here. Where did he move to? You know, I mean, you know, you got to get plugged in. Well, what is he, an outlet on the wall you got to plug into? No, you got to get yourself into Jesus, and you got to seek him. And so when he says, seek me in the waste place, it's because God is desiring to be searched for. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek him while he is approachable. And because of the cross, God is approachable. Okay? And your situation is only temporal. My favorite verse in the Bible, and I said this last night at the worship time, you know, my favorite verse in the Bible is, it came to pass. It never comes to stay. It always comes to pass. And God leads you through the valley of the shadow of death. He doesn't make you stop in the middle of it, but he carries you through it. Okay? God carries you through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because on the other side is a delicious feast. He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies, untouchable to your enemies. They can't touch you, and he's instigating the enemy by being so good to you, because the enemy wants to abuse you. He wants to rape you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you. John 10:10, a very familiar scripture. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life and have it abundantly. What a difference. The devil wants to have you in lack and despair. Jesus wants you to live life to its fullest and even more than enough. His name is El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. That's a good word right there. And I want to read Ezekiel chapter 7, and I want to read this because this is the thing that's important about the secret place. He's talking about the enemy here. He says, they transformed the beauty of his ornaments into pride, and they made the images of their abominations and their detestable things with it. Therefore, I will make it an abhorrent thing, an abhorrent thing to them, and I will give it into the hands of the foreigners as plunder, and to the wicked of the earth as spoil, and they will profane it. I will also turn my face from them, and they will profane my secret place, and then robbers will enter and profane it. He's talking about, you know, obviously he's talking to the believer there, or the Israelites, and you know, he's talking about the wickedness of that. And what they want to do is they want to make your secret place something profane, or they want to make it into an idol. You know, they want to make it into a religious artifact or a relic, so to speak. You know, I was raised Roman Catholic. And there was a place in Fatima where somebody apparently saw the Virgin Mary or whatever. And, you know, and so people would make pilgrimages to this place because this place became the relic. This place became, a place where people feel like they can, and you know, now I go to places to honor revivals of the past. I mean, I still have a desire to go to Azusa Street. I still have a desire to go to Wales, as I'm able to. And, you know, and just be there. I want to visit, you know, Amy Semple McPherson, the Angelus Temple down there in LA. I want to do all of these things. I want to go to their grave sites. Not to, you know, and I know that there's this thing of grave sucking and stuff like that. You know, that's not even, reality. But what is reality is that you go to honor them, and God places in you, that desire that this revivalist had. Okay. That it's the same thing. Like, people want to start healing rooms because John G. Lake, but they didn't pay the cost that John G. Lake paid to have those healing rooms. You know, John G. Lake, you know, if you were, a healing technician back in his time, you had to be in the room with the person who was sick until they were healed. You didn't get your certificate until that person was healed. Okay? Nowadays, you just go through a class, and yes, there are times when their advances, you know, you can get further, but you still have to, so to speak, pay the cost, pay the price to have their anointing. Okay. A gentleman I admire very much, you know, and people totally misunderstand this man. But, you know, in my estimation, he's probably one of the most sought after speakers in the globe, on the globe right now. And this man is full of love. He doesn't do anything but love people. I remember briefly I sat and chatted with him short time, but I sat and chatted with him, you know, and I just thanked him for being a father to me and fathering me and loving me back to emotional health and spiritual health. You know, one of the things that Pastor Bill had done was to just live his life. You know, I mean, he's one of the few people, and I've told him this, he's one of the few people I can honestly say, be an imitator of me as I am of Christ. You can imitate Bill because he is like Jesus. You know, and Pastor Bill Johnson and his frontline staff are incredible people. They literally love unconditionally, but they don't allow you to stay put. They allow you and they nurture you and they push you along to be better than you were when you first came. That's one of the things I appreciate about Bethel here is the frontline pastors especially have draw you in and they love you, they nurture you, they heal you, they set up opportunities for you to be better. And they equip you and then they send you out. And you don't have to be sent out from the church. Like you don't need them to say, we're sending out so and so. That's not what they do. But they nurture you to health so that you can hear what God wants you to do and you set it for and you start to do it. This is what this is all about. You know, they understood what my heart was. I mean, I was broken when I came here. I wasn't whole. You know, I posted a video on Facebook, a little lip sync video of, you know, of my heart. You know, they say follow your heart. But if your heart's in a million pieces, then which piece do you follow? Okay? You have to follow the Lord's heart. You have to follow the Lord's heart because His heart is whole. And I can tell you that there isn't a man or woman alive today. There isn't a man or woman alive today that is completely whole. And so what happens is, and this is all background, because what happens is the brokenness comes into the secret place and people try to pull you out. They distract you from your secret place. They take you away from your secret place. I've had a few people that, you know, I mean, I have a time schedule that I like to do and where I go ahead and I have my secret time with the Lord. And a few people interfered in that time. And the only time they would text me, the only time they would call me is during that time. They profaned my secret place. Maybe not willingly, but they profaned it anyway. And it was up to me to guard my secret time with the Lord, my time with the Lord. Okay. Now, having said all of that, I want to say this in furtherance of it. And that is that you come into His presence and you hold Him tight. He's able to speak to you in your quiet time as you're reading the Word or as you're meditating in the Word. And I'll tell you what I do about that in a second. But you meditate in there and you're reading the Word and God speaks to you. I don't, you know, it's something in my niceness. I kind of let these people text me or call me during this time, and I postponed my other times. I postponed my time with the Lord. Now, I do plan different times of the day to meet with the Lord. Don't get me wrong. It's not like, it's not like a set time every day, but I make an appointment. Okay, God, I don't have to walk down to, and for me, I have to walk a couple of miles to get my mail. It's at the post office. The UPS store here in Reading, and I have to walk a couple of miles to get there. Now, if I were to wait later, I would be walking in 100-degree weather. That's tough to do. I mean, you walk 2 miles in 100-degree weather under the sun, and it drains you out. It's dry here, too. It's not humid very much. Today, the last couple of days have been very humid because there's, like, the atmosphere is a little shaken. But you know, what happens is that that I have to leave in the morning, get there when it opens at 8:30 and or 8 o'clock, get my mail, and then walk back or do other things that I need to do there. My bank is another half mile away. Fortunately, there is online banking, and I really, really appreciate it during this time. But it's really, really tough. It's not easy. There is nothing easy about it. You know, I mean, I've tried to work hard on rebuilding my credit. I tried to work hard on paying some debts and getting debt free again. And, you know, I mean, for whatever reason, it probably self-inflicted. You know, I had cars break down. I mean, what are you going to do? In the summertime on the asphalt, it's over 100 degrees, 120 degrees when during the day when it's sunny and hot. We have worship times at the dam on Sunday nights. And, and the place where we're meeting, it's really hot because the sun's been beating down on the cement all day. And when the wind blows, it just blows this hot air. That's when you have a sacrifice of praise and a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Overall, in recognizing what's happening, you have to guard it. You really have to make an appointment. Okay, God, today I have to walk to the thing, have to walk to the post office. So what I'm going to do is I will schedule a time in the afternoon where you and I can meet. And you do that, and it's okay. Because as I prophesied over somebody last night, and I said that God is more wanting to be in your presence than you are to be in his presence. Now, for me, and the thing that stirs me is the presence of God. That's all I have to offer people. I don't have anything. I have literally, well, I can't say nothing. I have shirts, I have clothes, but of the important things, I don't have anything. All I have is the presence of God. I have nothing to give people except the presence of God. People come to me for counseling, and I'm not a good counselor. I tell people what they need to hear, not necessarily what they want to hear. People don't like that. It's okay. I was talking with somebody last night, and with this, I'll let it go. We were talking about being hidden and being in the secret place, or yesterday. And as we were talking, the thing that caught my attention was that you know, God is hiding his bride and preparing her. God is preparing a bride without spot or wrinkle. He's not pushing us away, but he's sifting to find out who the true believers really are. Who are the ones that are going to walk with him in the midst of all of this? Who are those ones? When Jesus comes back, is he going to find faith on the earth? He's looking for faith on the earth. God had called people like Sean Foyt and Chris Overstreet to do these worship, Sean Foyt specifically, to do these worship times in the open air with Antifa and BLM and rioters around them. But they worship. Chris and Sean share the gospel. The people are getting saved and they're getting baptized. Jesus never promised a rose garden. He just said that he'd be with us in the midst of all of it. Johnny Enlow, I mean, you can listen to Johnny Enlow and these men who have insight into things that are happening. Okay, watch Sid Roth and It's Supernatural. There's so many words. But God's not interested in all that. You know, I mean, like, I'll say this, and I wasn't going to, and I was in my brain, I was doing a tennis match with it back and forth, but I'll say it anyway. And that is, like, somebody was talking about wearing masks, and we have to wear masks in church, and, you know, or if, you know, wherever we go, we have to wear masks. And I said, you know, Christians have been wearing masks in church for years, for decades, for centuries. They've been pretending for centuries. We need to come, no masks, no pretensions, no performances. We need to be the church. This is what you get in the secret place. This is what you get with spending time with Jesus. You become so confident in who he made you, you don't care what everybody else says around you. The only place, I felt like this, but the only place I could really be me was in Jersey. I've spent 37 years here on the West Coast. October 12th will be 37 years since I landed in Tacoma. But the only place I could be me and not worry about other people was in Jersey. I love being me. I like me. You may not like me. It doesn't matter. I have an attitude. I get it. I got a East Coast attitude. I'll tell you what, you know. I put up with a lot of garbage from people that have no sensitivity at all to anybody else. They think they're the center of the universe. And you smile and you go, you know, it's going to be okay. People want to know they're valued. People don't want conformity. They want, well, the government wants conformity. But people don't need conformity. What they need is the ability to be free, to the understanding that they are fully accepted for who they are. And there's only one way you can get that, and that is through the blood of Jesus. Because in Jesus, that's where you get to be adopted as a son. And that's where you receive your full acceptance is in him. But you can't find that through a video. You can't find that through a song list. Those are avenues to bring you to the place where you can be alone with Jesus. Luke is, I shouldn't say notorious, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, those people that, Luke wasn't hanging around Jesus, but people that hung around Jesus said he went to the mountains to pray, as was his custom. In other words, he did that all the time. He went away. People didn't bother him there. But he does it. He continually does it because he loves you and he cares and he's drawing you close. And he says to you today, and I believe that he's saying this at this moment especially, he's saying, I desire to be with you more than you desire to be with me. Can we come together and meet? Stop profaning or desecrating the secret place. You know something, and I know people that do this. I'll do yoga while I do this. I'll do yoga while I'm praying, or I'll lift weights while I'm praying and I'm lifting weights. No. That's not how you get to the secret place. Why would you bring your spouse into the open air, into Walmart, to be intimate with her, or him? You don't. You don't do that. Get alone with God. Get alone with God. That's where you find your strength. Daniel, and I'll read this at some point, Daniel chapter 11, he says that my people would be would know their God, be strong, and do exploits. In that process of being intimate with God and getting to know him, he fills you with his strength so that you can go out and do exploits. You don't do exploits to make you strong, so that you can be intimate with him. You must be intimate with God. You must know your God. Then he fills you with his strength so that you can go out and do exploits, to do these miracles, signs, and wonders. These signs will follow those who believe. Not who get psyched up and before a game. It's not a game. It's life. And you're going to need him, especially in these next few months. You are going to need to be intimate with God, alone with God, because things are about to break out that you need God now more than ever, so that you can face what's going to happen in the next few months, if not the next few years. Well, God bless you guys. Thank you for joining me today. You know, those of you who have joined live, if you know, later on when you're watching, understand his love. Understand that God wants to embrace you how you are and with who you are. And he has no pretensions. He wants you, unveiled face, to meet with him, to hold him, to love him, because he wants to hold you and he wants to reach down and be with you every moment of every day. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time.